When Christ submitted to his enemies, they bound his hands behind him. They then tied a rope about his waist to lead him from place to place. With this rope, they dragged him along. But the rope was not necessary. It was just an added humiliation, since Christ willingly delivered himself into the hands of his enemies. He delivered himself that first Holy Thursday night into their hands so that we would be delivered from the hands of our enemies. Having bound our Savior, these men took him first to the house of Annas. That Christ was taken to the house of Annas suggests that he was still the power behind the throne. Indeed, it was probably Annas that was the man of chief authority among the Jews, the long-recognized head of both their ecclesiastical and their national party. Annas was in all probability the one who arranged Pilate's participation in the arrest. See, he was a member of the religious faction known as the Sadducees, but he himself was a man who believed in nothing. When Christ appeared before Annas, Annas asked him about his doctrine, about his disciples. To these questions, our Lord made no response. It was no business of this arrogant man, and our Lord simply stood there and would not open his mouth. Towards the end of the questioning, our Lord simply told Annas that he had always spoken openly. And if anyone really wanted to know about his doctrine, all they would have to do was consult the ones to whom our Lord had preached. Well, Annas did not like this answer. He was used to men being nervous in his presence. He preferred the role of judge rather than the role of the accused. But in the presence of our divine Savior, it was Annas who was now nervous. One of his guards, or henchmen as we may say, sensed this displeasure. And with his fist, he struck Jesus in the mouth. "Answerest the high priest so?" this guard said. The blow made our Lord stagger for a moment. But when he recovered, he calmly said to the guard, "If I have spoken evil, give testimony of the evil. But if well, why strikest thou me?" The guard was silent in the face of this question. He said nothing. Frustrated by our Lord's answers and even his majesty, Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the one who was the high priest that year. Now, as our Lord went from the house of Annas to Caiaphas, Peter and John followed at a distance. When John was safely inside, he went back to the door at the courtyard, and he spoke there to the portress. Now, as she let St. Peter in, she asked him, "Art thou not also one of this man's disciples?" She wanted to know if, like St. John, he was a follower of our Lord. But Peter did not like this question. The portress accused him of being a follower of Christ, who is now in the hands of his enemies, bound and being dragged from place to place. Peter answered, "Woman, I know him not." Others joined in the accusation. So Peter got up and moved away from where he was. But it was cold that night. So Peter returned to where all the people were gathered around a fire. This time another woman accused him. This time he denied with an oath, "I know not the man." Meanwhile, the trial of our Lord reached its most crucial point, when Caiaphas himself questioned Christ. "I adjure you," he said, by the living God, that thou tellest whether thou be Christ, the Son of God. At this, our Lord raised his head and his eyes, and he broke his silence. In the hearing of all, our Lord declared, after being solemnly abjured to do so, I am. And furthermore, he said, I say unto you that hereafter you shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of the power of God and coming in the clouds of heaven. This was the answer that Caiaphas had secretly hoped for. This was the answer that the devil had sought when he tempted our Lord in the desert. And so Caiaphas, in a show of hypocrisy which was worthy of him, rent his garments and protested that our Lord had spoken a blasphemy. The fate of Christ was now sealed, as was the fate of the Jewish religion. These people had now decided for once and for all, in the person of their high priest, to reject our Lord as their Messiah. And so Christ was then handed over to the jailers. These men descended upon him with cruelty and with a hatred that has been unmatched down through all the ages of history. St. Luke says that they spat in his face. They put a blindfold on him. They mocked him and they struck him over and over again. They spoke many blasphemies against him that night. And as our Lord was beginning to feel the brunt of this treatment, Peter found himself still in the courtyard. It was at this time that a final accusation came, as the crowd began to come almost to a frenzy in their hatred and their blasphemies towards our Lord. One of the people around the fire said to St. Peter, "Of a truth, thou art one of them," came this voice of a stranger. "Did I not see you in the garden with him? And art thou not a Galilean? For thy speech betrayeth thee." Now it's said that the person who made this last accusation was actually a near relative of Malchus, the Jewish soldier whose ear Peter had cut off in the Garden of Gethsemane. But to this very forceful accusation then, St. Peter began to curse and swear, and to match force with force, as he said that he did not know the man. Now at that very moment that St. Peter made his third denial of Christ, our Lord was being transferred from Caiaphas to the prison cell. To get there, they had to take him outside of the house, and so our Lord passed through the courtyard. Just as St. Peter spoke that final denial, Jesus could then see St. Peter, and Peter could see our Lord. When that third and final denial came, the Holy Gospels tell us that the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, who had said, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." Peter went out then and wept bitterly, and it was about 3 a.m. The members of the Sanhedrin retired for the night, but our Lord Jesus Christ was given no rest. He was delivered into the hands of those soldiers, and they had been commanded to treat him as the most abominable of all villains. He was handed over to those soldiers who were vulgar men, filled with uncouth speech, brutal in their ways, and at this hour of the early morning, flushed with drink. They had about 2 hours with which they could deal with the prisoner in any way that they chose. And they knew that he had already been condemned by Caiaphas and his companions. They almost seemed possessed in that 2 hour time period as they inflicted torment upon torment to our gentle Savior. Saint Jerome says that we will not know the horrors and the sufferings that were perpetrated upon our Savior that night until the Last Judgment. The Old Testament Book of Wisdom says by way of prophecy, let us examine him by outrages and tortures. And St. Luke said that they struck him. They said many things blaspheming him. They spit on him. They plucked his beard. And the words of Isaiah the prophet were most surely fulfilled in our divine Savior. Isaiah had said, prophesying about this event, I have given my body to the strikers, and my cheeks to them that would pluck them. I have not turned my face from them that rebuked me, and that spit upon me. We can clearly see why Isaiah is from time to time called the fifth evangelist. Because even though he wrote before our Lord, his words were so perfectly fulfilled by our Lord's life that it was as if he was writing a history rather than a prophecy. With these very cruel tortures being inflicted upon our Lord all night, the men were initially impressed by his courage and his silent strength. But as the night wore on, they became increasingly disturbed. His steady gaze was too much for these evil men to take, and his silence and submission was unknown to them. Taking just about as much of our Lord as they could, one of the soldiers finally put a blindfold on him, so they would no longer have to see his majestic, courageous, and strong countenance. From here they continued to beat him and spit upon him. And they would say, tell us, Christ the Messiah, Son of God, great prophet, who was it that struck thee? But Christ did not respond. They became exasperated and enraged, and so they continued with their blows and their blasphemies upon the sacred victim until the executioners themselves were at last wearied and tired and finally took him to his place for the second hearing. At this second hearing, the sentence of our Lord's condemnation was confirmed.